We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Are you going to do it, Curtis? On cue, are you going
to
do it?
Let's see. I wanted to...
No.
yeah.
A little sabotage for you there via the Beastie Boys. Not bad. Not bad, Curtis. Well done.
I was trying to act like I wasn't going to do it and then do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell.
I was surprised.
That's what made me laugh. I could hear Nate's headset jiggle where he, like, pulled back, like, good Lord, what the hell is going on there?
What's that all about?
Curtis Siebold and Nate Taylor from The Athletic. Great, great publication, The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription, you are really missing out. Get to The Athletic today. Great guys like Nate Taylor covering the Chiefs. Does a phenomenal job up there at training camp. And then also great guys like Jason Stark, Rustin Dodd. Just a great lineup that they keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Excuse me. We're going to talk to Nate Taylor here in a second. He's at training camp. Our camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, and Rally House in Kansas Sample. Your home for official Chief merchandise for every day. Not just game day, people. Every day. Plus, if it's going in your man cave, your office, in your tailgate, they got it. It's at Rally House and Kansas Sampler. Get ready for the season with Rally House and Kansas Sampler. We're at ticketsforless.com. At least I am. The guys are up in the great north of St. Joe, where I hear the temperatures really dropped as they were complaining about the heat earlier. VIP tailgate tent, got it. Only $25 for Thursday night. You can get that from ticketsforless.com right now. The Mahomes 4-pack, all right? And this is awesome. It's only while the autographed Patrick Mahomes mini football helmets last, you get 4 tickets, a free parking pass, and a free mini football autographed by Patrick Mahomes. While they last, but when they're gone, they're gone. Go to ticketsforless.com to get this 4-pack. It's good for 5 different games. Chiefs-Bengals, Chiefs-Cardinals, Chiefs-Chargers, Chiefs-Raiders, and then for some reason, Giants-Eagles. I'm just kidding. Chiefs Ravens is the last one. Chiefs at home against the Bengals, Cardinals, Chargers, Raiders, and Ravens. Any of those 5 games, you can get the Mahomes 4-pack here at Tickets for Less for only $199 on Thursday night. Chiefs and Texans while they last, and only until 2 o'clock today. Seats are only $50 in the club level. Get a free VIP tailgate tent pass as well, courtesy of my good friends here at Tickets for Less. And I do say that. They're good friends. Been in business for years. We love coming over here, and they do just such a great business. So you need tickets for anything. I'm going to be talking to Carson a little bit later on. We're talking about maybe taking a road trip for the Chiefs. I'm going to look into that, whether it's in town, out of town, Chiefs, Royals, concerts. You got it. It's right here at ticketsforless.com. Let's talk Chiefs football with Nate Taylor. Nate, how are you?
Good, good. Doing well. It's hotter outside now than it was during the practice. So, you know, take the good with the bad.
It does. It warms up. It's reality. You got a really nice, at least first week plus, maybe first couple of weeks even.
Yeah, really.
But now the heat is kicking in. And is it affecting the team? You were talking like you thought maybe they looked a little sluggish.
They did. And I will say this too, you know, talking to some people who are on the staff who are not players, like everyone sort of acknowledged today, like, man, you know, you got one more practice tomorrow. That's going to be a short one. More of a walkthrough, just, hey, make sure everybody knows what they're doing for Thursday. But this was the last real in-pads, kind of full contact, kind of live session. Guys were sluggish, which sort of makes you lean towards the defense performing better than the offense does. But, yeah, it's hot out here. I mean, you know, we're getting to the point now where camp is getting kind of long, tedious, and I'm sure guys are excited to see the Texans on Thursday.
And there always is a bit of a buildup to finally being able to hit somebody wearing a different color jersey, and I can see them getting there. And you said, and we heard Curtis talk about the pick six that was thrown by Patrick Mahomes early, and then he really kind of gets on a roll. This has been the theme for him throughout, right? He seems to do this almost every practice.
Exactly. And it's interesting to kind of watch because you wonder how much of this will translate towards live game action, whether that's in the preseason or obviously we get to September 9th against the Chargers. But what I've noticed is, you know, you go through the stretching, you go through the individual drills, and then it's like, okay, this is the first, you know, team drill where it's either 11 on 11 or 7 on 9 or, you know, whatever iteration you want to put out there. And Pat will sort of go through, okay, like if we're installing these plays for this game situation, it gets a little tricky for him. It gets a little difficult at times because the defense can sort of react to him quicker than he can react to the defense. Now, when we get towards the second half of practice, and this is what I wrote, I think, last week when I pretty much honed in the entire day on Mahomes is, okay, you threw two picks. You threw a third one, even though you got the offsides call to get a free play. But towards the later end of the practice, he throws touchdown passes. He threw a very nice ball to Tyreek Hill today that beat Kendall Fuller down on the sideline. He had a very good throw, and I think I put this on Twitter, but, you know, there's so many plays. But he was more assertive, crisp with his decision-making. His accuracy improves as practice goes on, too. That's something to make note of. So, you know, when you're a young guy who's trying to get as many reps as you can, it's at least positive that he progresses nicer as practice goes along, whereas, you know, there might be some guys who come out hot and then all of a sudden, you know, they sort of, as practice goes on, they sort of wear down. So I guess that's good for his conditioning, the way his body is sort of at, where his body's at, I should say, right now with training camp going on. But he's making better reads and better throws and just overall better decisions towards the second half of practice. And you wonder how much of that is installing a new play, installing a new sort of sequence of plays, or what the scenario that Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid want to put him in to start practice so that he can make corrections later on in the session.
All right, reading, we're talking to Nate Taylor from The Athletic here. He's up in St. Joe. I'm at ticketsforless.com where the clock is ticking on taking advantage of these Chiefs-Texans. Thursday night tickets, $50 in the club level. Also, good only during the remote is the, which one was, that's the $99 club level Chiefs-Jaguars ticket. So I want to remind everybody, phone only on the Chiefs and Jags club level, $99, 913-685-3322. I don't want anyone to miss out if you're just joining us here in the program that special is on right now and only good till 2 o'clock. You're talking about Mahomes, right, and you know, zeroing in a little bit. I read all the quotes last week that were coming out of all the media sessions there while I was on vacation. And one of the big storylines coming down the stretch run of the week was the interceptions that were being thrown and different things were being written about that. And we caution, I think it was even you and I talking that, listen, Andy Reid is big on, and we said this in July before camp ever got started. If he doesn't throw picks, that's a big warning sign, right? If he throws tons of picks, that's a warning sign, too. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. But Andy Reid wants him to push the limits. Is it perhaps that early in practice, that's him pushing the limits, and then he corrects the mistakes, and he zeroes in? Or is it more of just like early in practice is push the limits, late in practice is let's move the chains, let's run the offense and get into what I know works? Is it have you had a chance to ask him or anyone around him if whether or not that's kind of just his – the way he evolves throughout the course of practice?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Saran. And I think it's a mixture of both, which makes me sound like a coach one way or another. It's like, well, you know, it's a little bit of both. But it is kind of to a degree. And the person that I've talked to the most about Pat, kind of in one-on-one settings, and I even wrote about him today in The Athletic, is the new offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, coming from the running back standpoint. And the big thing is, like, I think there's so much information that Pat has to decipher, to understand, to make adjustments when he gets to the line of scrimmage, because so much of what Andy's offense is, hey, I'm giving you options based on what the defense is doing, based on what you think you see, you know, based on a formation. And then a lot of it is, too, like, now we're giving you a new situation each day to start camp, based on my understanding of the way the coaches have sort of set this up for him. And the offense is like, this is a new thing. So, red zone, okay, starting in your own territory, middle of the field, two-minute drill, okay. Today they did a lot of four-minute offense when you're, you know, supposedly have the lead, right, trying to squeeze out the clock. So they're doing all these things, and it's just going to take him time and I think reps to understand that, okay, I can push the limit here, I can see how far my arm will let me go, and then I think he does make some corrections, and I think Andy wants to see him, you know, much like I said earlier, really move the ball down the field once we get towards the second end of practice, because that's really when you get the ones versus ones, the projected starters all on the field. And I will say this, the last few days, and even when he threw those, you know, those two interceptions that I wrote about, he came back and he threw a long touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, I believe. And then I think the best moment he's had in camp is when Reid gave one of, you know, one of those random 2 to 3 play options where you're near the 10-yard line, he sees the defense, he checks out of a certain play, gets everybody lined up, and he throws to Anthony Sherman, of all people, but it results in a 10-yard touchdown pass. So if he does those things in the regular season, you can sort of reference all of that going into the work we've, sort of seen the last 2 weeks or so. But I think it is a mixture of both. Hey, here's a new situation for you to really get better at, and then two, once you get more comfortable in that situation and understanding what the defense might do, then execute to the precision that we would like you to.
Well, we heard about when he had him in the wrong play. Has that happened mm-hmm. more than once, twice, maybe?
Talking to Eric, it has happened more than once. I will say that. Eric has not given, like, specifics when I've asked him about, like, hey, you know, one of the key moments of, you know, being with the coaches at the sort of podium tent is what we call it here, where the majority of the reporters are, is Eric sort of raised his hand and said, you know, I've made hiccups too. So I think it's new for everyone because Andy sort of sets out the plays that he wants to see based on the situation for that day's practice. Then Eric, with the walkie-talkie in his hand, is giving the play calls to Pat. Pat has to give it to the offense. The offense has to go up and line up correctly. Then you go through the pre-snap reads. Then you go through the checks. Then you go to, hey, if I want to move something around. I mean, there's so much communication going on that it's new for all these guys because it's a new job for Eric. Pat as, you know, first-time starter. And then Andy is kind of sitting back and watching it all after he's sort of, you know, driven up what the assignments were for that day's work.
So how do you end up in the wrong play? Right? I mean, because if we go back to all of our peewee football days, you know, 42 dive, right?
You
don't all of a sudden drop back. What do you call that now? A little more complex especially even in Andy Reid NFL play. And it's one of the things now you can't get him to tell you, but I used to do some stuff for the Chiefs website and different things. And I would record the quarterbacks calling out a play, right? So the fans could hear what the hell all is being said in the huddle. Now they won't even let you get anywhere. You know, they don't even let the guys do that kind of thing. But it takes a long time to spit it all out. But is it because there's so many options with Andy Reid's offense? Is it that it's a right or left-handed thing? Is he went the wrong direction? How do you get the wrong play as the quarterback where it seemingly all comes through you?
Right. I think my understanding is that sometimes it's Eric just trying to get it out there so quickly because, again, these guys are sort of, you know, simulating what it's going to be like, say, Thursday or in the regular season where you only get so many seconds between each play. But primarily, I think it is, you know, Patrick, you know, understanding everything, spitting it out. And then, look, there's, you know, it's hot out here. Guys are sweating. You're getting back into the flow of football. And every now and then a wide receiver, you know, tight end, someone's going to line up wrong. So, obviously, whose responsibility is it? It's Patrick's to put somebody in the right place. And then I think because of those sort of options, the sort of idea of that, hey, I'm calling this play so that Bob Sutton can call this play so that I can see if you see it and then make the correct adjustments. And when you get to that level of football, it is complex. So, you know, it's harder said than done, but I think that's where it mostly stems from. It's just Patrick going through the progressions, making sure everybody lines up correctly. And then, hey, if you see something, do a hard count. All of a sudden, now you get into that sort of thought process, too, where you're trying to bait the defense to show them more information than they would like to at the time. All those things sort of play into a factor of, hey, you may have set the right call, but you didn't execute it or adjust to the way, you know, the coaching staff would have liked you to.
We're talking to Nate Taylor here in the program from The Athletic, covers the Kansas City Chiefs, joins us regularly here in the program. It sounds like Eric Bieniemy's calling the plays mm-hmm. in practice, which makes sense, right? Andy Reid's mm-hmm. going to do his head coach thing and try to get an eye on everybody so he can evaluate what's
right.
going on. Or you know, how much does Andy Reid, how much now is he? I'm wondering if we've got a change in how he's going about. Is he looking over Bob Sutton's shoulder more, less, the same? Or is he still mostly, even though he's not calling the plays, focused on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, from just observations, he's still with the offense. I mean, you know, Andy wants to prepare Patrick as much and as quickly as he can for September 9th for the season opener. So I don't think that's really changed probably from years previous. But I do understand that, you know, Andy is really looking at the tape of everyone, and that sort of frees him to let, you know, Eric Bieniemy you know, call up most of the plays or sort of go through the scripts that they, you know, set out to do for that day's work. You know, with so many new players, I think Andy, to a tad degree, I don't want to make this too big of a deal, with so many new players on defense, I think he and Bob have to work collaboratively a little bit more to understand, okay, who's doing what, who's executing what we say we want, you know, are they playing with the right mentality, are they communicating the way we want, because remember, last year, a lot of the times, guys who didn't line up right were in the secondary without Eric Berry. So, with all that coming back into the fold, with so many new players, I think they want to boost some communication when you get to the film work and watching practice and sort of game planning ahead. But on the field during practice, Andy is really behind Patrick to where whenever Patrick is finishing his reps, the first two people he talks to are Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, and then you sort of move forward from there.
We're talking to Nate Taylor from the Athletic here. A lot of Chiefs fans are roaming around, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even right here, I'm being lectured as we speak. Right now, Nate, you should know that just so everybody is aware of the fact that they're quite fired up, even here at ticketsforless.com. All right, so moving forward, you mentioned just a bit of a walkthrough tomorrow. Are we getting any vibe yet? Tomorrow is where all the questions will be like, how much are we going to see everybody?
Right.
But are we maybe going to see more of Patrick Mahomes because he needs more reps than we certainly saw Alex Smith coming down the stretch?
Well, for business purposes, I would like to see Patrick the whole half.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, we talked to Andy yesterday, and sort of the notion we got was like, hey, you know, I haven't really thought about that, but you know who I am. I'm more of a traditionalist, which is why we're in St. Joe, of all places, for training camp, unlike most teams. But being a traditionalist means every quarterback's going to get a quarter. You might be able to finish the drive you started towards the end of the first half, or excuse me, towards the end of the first quarter, entering the second quarter. But I think that's probably going to be it for Pat. I'm gathering or getting the sense that games 2 and 3 are the ones that's going to really matter. And if you see what you want to see, or even if you don't see what you want to see against the Texans, can you really drill everything down when you see the Bears, which is the third preseason game, and then when you come back in and play, play the Falcons, almost 12 days from now. So I think the second and third games are going to be most important, but I'd be shocked if St. Patrick was still on the field with 7 minutes left in the second quarter.
All right, Steven Nelson, he's the guy who had the pick six today. I don't want to read too much into some training camp stats.
Come on, Sarin. just go all in. Go all in on Steven Nelson. Contract year, baby.
I do like the contract year part of the equation. I liked him coming out of Oregon State. I liked the pick. He looked to me exactly like what a New England Patriots corner would look like, right? Not quite as big as you'd like.
Yeah,
maybe
undersized,
not quite not quite as fast as you'd like, but a guy that had experience and would be a smart guy and given a good scheme could play really good football. I mean, he kind of reminded me of what I always see when I'm like, oh, the corners took a Patriots, or the Patriots took a corner. Let's take a look at what the guy looks like. Oh, he's 5'10 and a half. Oh, he's 192. He just looked like what the Patriots corners look like coming out of the draft. Is this him taking his game to a whole nother level, or just, you know, there's so many opportunities in training camp, somebody's going to get hot, and it just happens to be him this time?
No, I'm kind of all in on Steven Nelson. Like, it's crazy to think about, because he got better towards the second end of last year because, you know, he had that whole core muscle surgery kind of around this time last year. The thing with Steven is that this dude's been playing really well since OTAs. Like, he's always jumped out to me in practice, whether it's OTAs, mandatory minicamp, or out here in St. Joseph. And if you ask me who's the player that gives you the most confidence outside of, like, the big-name guys on defense, Steven's going to be the first name I say, just because if he could just solidify one spot on the secondary and then the cornerback position, like, if you would just be solid on one side, and he's been slightly above solid, he's been really good so far in camp. And look, the one statistic that I talked to Mitch Holtis about for a story I wrote on Steven before camp was just the fact that you look at Steven Nelson's stats, he has no interceptions. He's got to go for the ball. He's got to make turnovers, and he's done that so far in training camp. And that's the most positive thing you can say, is that he's scheme sound. He's very good with his techniques. He is undersized, but he knows once he sees something, go get the ball. You know, go cut that route off. You know, Sammy Watkins, you know, and again, the guys are tired. It's hot outside. We've been practicing far too long. He makes an out route. He kind of, you know, rounds it off. Steven, contract year, alert, makes a read, go picks off the ball, takes the ball, you know, essentially takes it to the house, even though, you know, this isn't live contact action. But he saw what Patrick was doing. He saw the route that Sammy ran, and he made a play. Now, can you do that in the preseason? And most importantly, can you start doing that on September 9th when it really matters?
Yeah, and that is going to be the big thing. And if he does, then all of a sudden you start to think this cornerback position looks really, really strong, right?
Right.
That's if he takes his game to where you go, that's a legitimate NFL starting corner. We know Fuller has got that kind of ability. Mm-hmm. Then it's on Amerson to make the corner position really strong.
Right. And I talked with Brett Veach last week, and we put a decent chunk of the conversation on The Athletic, and you can go read that Q&A with Brett Veach. But, you know, one of the things that I don't even think I put in the story, but I just sort of asked him during our conversation was like, you know, I'm getting the sense that the cornerback position is better than even I anticipated. Like, do you feel the same? And Brett Veach was very clear with me, like, we think this is going to be a very solid group. And David Amerson has made plays, and we think in a press man coverage with his size, he's going to benefit from that more so than just playing 8 yards back and trying to shadow guys. If you let David Amerson be physical, he can be something where he can be reliable, I should say. Steven Nelson, hey, go get some interceptions, and you can have, you know, really a career year. And Kendall Fuller, you know, nothing has been shown so far to make me think that this dude is not the best slot corner in the league, because he is just so technically sound that he takes away what you would think would be the advantage of being in the open field, in the middle of the field, where he knows what he needs to do to sort of close off space. So if those three guys stay healthy, it's a gigantic if, but if those three guys stay healthy, because really there's no one else behind them other than like a lot of rookies and young guys, so you need those three guys to stay healthy. But if they do, they have the capabilities to at least be very good with Eric Berry behind them.
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. I mean, Bob Sutton's defense has got to take a step forward, and coverage would be one of the best ways to do it. Pressure would be the easiest way, but mm-hmm. you know, it goes hand in hand. Longer you cover, more time you got there to sack somebody, quicker you sack somebody, the less time you got to cover. But I do think that I've said all along, like, these guys aren't morons, and if they're moving Marcus Peters –
right,
and they're making these moves. They're not doing it like, I just don't believe that there's any chance. Maybe they would. Maybe I'm wrong. That it's just like Marcus Peters and the anthem, Marcus Peters and his antics. He's just got to go at any and all costs. We don't care what it takes. You know, the Fuller deal came down first, and I think that's of note. Everybody got excited because like, wow, now the coverages are going to be great.
Right.
Then they moved Marcus Peters, and that backed everyone up. And I think what it was a statement that we're not giving Marcus Peters away and we're not moving him unless we know we've got another piece and a piece that we like. And once they got that piece, that's what made them say, okay, we can afford to move Marcus Peters. That's the act of an intelligent organization. And
right.
I've always felt better about the coverage unit than I think most people, because I don't think Andy Reid and Brett Veach are dopes. So if they did that, they had to have a plan, and I think we're seeing the plan. Nelson last year was probably his year to shine, and the injury robbed him of that year. They mm-hmm. knew what they thought they had in Nelson if he stays healthy, and now they've made the move to create cap space and all the things that came with getting Peter's contract and future contract off the books, which, are you with me? It's notable the Rams haven't extended him yet, right? They've extended two other guys they acquired, but haven't extended him.
Yeah, let me offer some advice to our fellows in Los Angeles. Don't extend Marcus Peters until you absolutely have to. Because, look, I'm not gonna make a big deal of this, but look, you talk to people every day when you're out here. It's not like it's on the record, or it's not like it's directly for a story, but I think the more I've talked to folks, the more I've understood that Marcus antics in the locker room, on the field, you know, butting heads with the coaching staff, however you want to describe it, that is more important than I think the anthem stuff, you know, his decision and his, you know, obviously his right to you know, display his protest the way he wants to, even if it's in sort of a not great environment for it necessarily, or one where you would say versus other parts of the country. So I think it's just more towards Marcus is a hard guy, and Eric Berry gets hurt, and all of a sudden, you know, Marcus understands he's an all-pro player. Marcus knows that he can kind of get away with stuff, and he really pushed the organization in a way that they didn't, I don't think, particularly enjoyed. And so You trade Alex Smith across a conference, so you don't have to compete with him. You get Kendall Fuller back, who you spent, you know, hours looking at tape trying to figure out if we need to trade Alex, who's the best partner to do a trade with. You get Kendall Fuller in here. You're right about Steven Nelson. Like, hey, this is the ultimate prove-it year. But one key difference, and Justin Houston said this, and I'm not sure he said it on purpose or didn't realize what he had said in the moment, but he used the word hot shots, you know, when describing the difference between guys on the team last year on defense and the defense this year, which is very business-like, collegial, guys who are willing to learn from one another and talk. Now, did Justin Houston, you know, clarify and say that that wasn't about Marcus Peters? No, but he also said it out loud. So clearly there's a different mindset, and there might be more harmony in the locker room versus when Marcus was around, you know, questioning things probably in a way and in a nature that the team didn't necessarily like. So is Marcus Peters a phenomenal football player? Yes. This is his year to make money? Of course. But you want to make sure that guy is fully focused, and one way to do that is not to give him an extension right away.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's one of the things that I'm certainly watching how it goes with the Rams. I mean, they traded for Sammy Watkins, didn't re-sign him. I mean, they may do the same thing with Marcus Peters, and then they've given up you know, some valuable resources for a guy that they don't end up getting signed. I think that is going to be significant to watch on what the Rams do moving forward with Marcus Peters if they indeed don't end up signing him. But the Rams are already throwing around a lot of contracts and not getting it done. I talked to Brett Veach. I know you talked to him last week. I talked to him earlier today here in the program. Mm-hmm. And he made it pretty clear that he said, look, I don't think we'll be as aggressive as we were last year. I think pretty much saying don't expect another Raglan and Irving coming in. You get the sense that the roster is much more complete in their eyes now, and so any additions are going to be, oh, by the way, additions after the final cuts rather than a trade this camp?
Yeah, I get that sense because Brett talked to me a little bit about just the not having a first-round pick and not, you know, you don't want to give up a second or even a third, honestly, because those guys mostly tend out to be starters. Their cap situation has put them in a place where you can't necessarily make those moves without giving up draft picks involved as well. So you want to keep the cap the same. And I know some people say, like, hey, you know, if you go on any website, like, maybe they have 6, 7, 8 million. Well, some of that depends on who makes the roster. And so maybe you want to get through the 53-man cut and see where you are then, and then maybe you make a move. But by then, guys are already set with their teams. And I think that's why the Breshad Breeland thing was so interesting to watch, was because if you get him now, he's at least going to get a couple weeks in camp. He'll play most of the preseason game. He'll be within the mix of what you've already built so far in the offseason. Making a significant move now seems unlikely because I think Andy and Brett are of the opinions that, like, let's just see what we have in the team right now, and I don't have a ton of cap space to really maneuver in a way where I did last year. And look, it depends on what, you know, if some guy gets hurt or some guy goes down, yes, then you'll have to look to replace somebody. But it also involves other, you know, the other 31 teams. Like, if someone gets hurt or disappoints or is a surprise cut, then, yeah, you may reach out. But I would be pretty stunned if they did something that involved, like, a Cam Irvin, where this guy's a legit number one draft pick, you know, first-round draft pick, and then you bring him in because he's sort of mishandled or misused in Cleveland. Like, I don't think, you know, Cleveland continues to make trades, which continues to surprise me. But outside of that organization, I don't know what the other 30 teams would necessarily do where you would make it viable from a Chiefs perspective.
Yeah. All right, so we don't expect to see a whole lot tomorrow, right? Just more walkthrough and prep it up and make sure nobody gets hurt.
Right, it's a day to do, like, attendance and to see, like, okay, who's doing reps and how much work does Patrick actually do is, like, the last, you know, dress rehearsal before the true dress rehearsal on Thursday. But the way I took it, especially talking to some guys, is like, okay, this was the last significant real day. Hopefully tomorrow's weather, you know, isn't terrible and you get out of here, you know, in less than maybe 2 hours from, you know, being on the field stretching to, you know, really saying goodbye to St. Joe for a few days.
Yeah. All right. Nate, great stuff, buddy. By the way, I loved listening to a number of things on the Best of Training Camp over the weekend. You and Cody did a great job talking last week. So I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing everybody at Arrowhead.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Nate Taylor from The Athletic does a great job covering the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can check out his conversation with Brett Veach at The Athletic. Ours is at 810WHP.com. On our podcast, I'm broadcasting live here at ticketsforless.com. Chiefs are playing Thursday, wrapping up the initial stages of training camp. You can go see Patrick Mahomes make his first start of the year. Listen, we've got two specials that are running during this remote and during this remote only, so you need to take advantage of it right now. Patrick Mahomes, first start, club-level seats. Go see the Chiefs and Texans for only $50, plus get a free VIP tent pass with every club-level ticket for Thursday night's game, online or over the phone. No need to add the tent pass to your order. It'll be automatically sent to you when your order is processed. It's only good till 2 o'clock today. And then for the Chiefs and Jags on October 7th, the best defense in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, up against Patrick Mahomes and what many think might be the best offense in the NFL. It's coming to Arrowhead on October 7th. You can sit in the club level for only $99 for one of the biggest games of the year. It is 913-685-3322. Phone in only on these Chiefs and Jags tickets. $99 in the club level. Take advantage of it. Of course, that Mahomes four-pack. Bengals game, Cardinals, Chargers, Raiders, Ravens. Any of those games, any of those five, get four tickets, one parking pass, and a free mini football autographed by Patrick Mahomes for just $199. It's at ticketsforless.com.